Today on the Manufacturer Podcast, EvTech Automotive, a lesson for all in diversity and disability inclusion. A look at some of the latest headlines, including a paper exploring the impact of mental health within civil aviation, and what do we deem to be made by a moron this week? That's all to come in today's episode. Hello, listener. It's the 26th of April today. If you decided to tune in on the day of release, then well done to you and happy Friday. We've got Joe, James and Molly back along for another episode. Joe, are you quite well? You look very depleted.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom. I'm only sorry that the listener can't see me after that glowing endorsement. Thank you very much. I've never known it to take so long to shake off a cold. I've had it literally for about 10 days now, and it's usually 48-hour job, but not good. Did everyone have a good St. George's Day?
When was that?
Yesterday.
I think I remembered to put a temporary frame around my Facebook profile picture.
Hang on. So yesterday, so Tuesday the 23rd, let's not forget this is going out on Friday. So Tuesday was St. George's Day. Yeah, I didn't do anything. I didn't even know it was St. George's Day. What even happens on St. George's Day? On St. Patrick's Day, everyone drinks Guinness. What's the Scottish equivalent? St. Andrew's
Day? St. Andrew's, but they do Burns Night, don't they?
They do Burns Night.
Yeah. Haggis and
they do Burns Night. Wales
dance around a turnip, or
they've probably got something. Yeah, but what do you actually do on St. George's Day?
That's nothing. Kind of why I kind of sarcastically brought it up, because a lot of people don't even know when it is. There's no tradition. There's certainly no bloody public holiday, is there?
Well, absolutely not. No. Are you trying to raise awareness for St. George's Day?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well.
We'll dress up as knights and dragons and fight each other.
Yeah, I think everyone should have a day off, go and drink warm beer somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Morris dancing should be compulsory.
Morris dancing, yeah, that's a thing that we do, but also a thing that we don't do. Yeah, how is everyone doing? Because, like, catch me up on stuff. It's been a while, hasn't it? We didn't do an episode last week. Or did we do an episode last week? I sort of can't remember.
I can't remember. I've got more on my plate than a spinster at a wedding at the moment. So all days are sort of rolling into one.
We are busy. Molly, were you on like a hen do last week or a couple of weeks ago? What was that like?
It was good. It was fun. It was in Suffolk. So it was a bit of a long drive for me anyway from here. It was fun. It was 30 women in a big house. So, I mean, maybe not fun for everyone.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves right now, but after the story you told me on Monday, Molly, I'm thinking your bus driver or the policies, let me reword, the policies of your bus driver's company perhaps should be made by a moron.
Yes, that is true.
Story time, go on then.
So the drive is about 3 hours from where we was back home, and I'm assuming the coach company is based where I live. So he'd driven in the morning to collect us on the Sunday on the way home, all hungover, all been there for like 2 days, all want to go home. He picks us up at about 11:30. We get into the coach, very somber coach.
The name of the coach company, please, Molly.
DJ coaches or something.
Yeah, come on, let's name and shame.
So we get 45 minutes away from where we live, and he tells us that he needs a 45 minute break because he's been driving for 4 hours, and then drops us all at a service station while we're 40 minutes like away from where he was going to drop us anyway to stop for 40 minutes. So we all get off. When we come back, he's still sitting at the steering wheel on his phone. So he didn't really need a break. He just, I don't know what the policy is, but he stopped.
That's rubbish.
And left us all there.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a bit here. I think fair play. Rights of the worker and all that.
But he could have stopped when he picked us up.
If you don't like it, Molly, then take it up with the union. Do you know what I mean?
No.
No, wait, hang on. So he was driving for 4 hours, and then after 4 hours, he was like, right, that's me. I need a break. But you were nearly there, basically.
Yes. But basically, obviously, his journey to us and back, he was counting that as like a whole.
Yeah,
that had been okay. 4 hours, where he should have just stopped where we was and been like, hang on, let's wait a bit.
The best thing to do was to leave a bit earlier, drive to you, have the rest before he'd even picked you up.
Yes.
And then driven you home, surely.
Yes, yeah. That would have been my thinking, but I don't know. Maybe just fancy to stop a bit later. It's his break time, I guess, so I'm not going to complain.
Well, you did.
Yeah, like, not to him, though. I was like, you're going to take me home.
EvTech Automotive. Let's hear about them. Winners of the Special Recognition Award at the Manufacturer MX Awards last year. This is really a great story and a brilliant site visit. As well as the feature you're about to hear, EvTech will also be featuring in the upcoming Q2 edition of the Manufacturer magazine. Check that out if you're a subscriber. Just over 40% of employees at EvTech are female, and just over 40% have some form of disability. This is the story of a company that has stuck to principles, the principles on which it was founded, despite all the challenges that have been faced by the automotive sector recently. And on top of that, the company went into administration in 2022 when the Remploy scheme that they were part of came to an end. So Remploy was a program that had run since 1949 and was aimed at providing jobs for people with disabilities. A lot of these jobs opened up in industrial settings. It was pretty radical, actually, for the time. EvTech could have veered away from the mission of Remploy at that time, but they haven't. We want to share this story with you because it's a really good one. So take a listen to this. This is quite a story. One that we've been looking forward to bringing you since visiting EvTech Automotive's Coventry factory earlier this year.
I'm Stuart Cleverley, Senior Key Account Manager at EvTech. I've been here 7 years. So EvTech are a complex assembly supplier to the likes of Jaguar Land Rover, for example. We supply fuels, cooling, electrification assemblies to trackside.
A company that punches well above its weight. Standing with automotive customers and remaining agile and competitive through the turmoil of recent years. What really stands out about this company, though, is the unwavering commitment to diversity and inclusion. It won them an award for special recognition at our Manufacturer MX Awards, where judges were quite literally overwhelmed and moved to tears when they saw the EvTech ethos in action and working effectively. That ethos is employees. Young, old, just over 40% of them female, and just over 40% of them with some form of disability, be it physical or a learning difficulty, neurodivergent, all are welcome at EvTech.
My name's Kath Ball, and I'm a job coach here at EvTech Automotive, but my employer is Harrowwood College.
Harrowwood, along with Corley Services, are colleges that EvTech are partnered with.
So my role within EvTech Automotive is to train students with special needs how to do the roles within the factory. We break down the big tasks that are expected of them into smaller tasks, and we've had specialist training in order to do that.
What sort of stuff has been done to implement this and to make people kind of feel comfortable?
So EvTech has always made us feel very welcome. They've put special measures in place to accommodate the students. They've helped us as the trainers to break stuff down and to understand how best to train the students.
The mission with the students coming through is to grow them, not just for the world of work, but for life in general. As Kevin Hubbard, Managing Director, explained to us while sitting in the boardroom.
As every student, we see them develop, you know, being here at day one, where they will not look at you, won't shake your hand, so nervous and whatnot. And, that's a lot for any student anyway, never mind having a disability. But as the year progresses, they really become part of the EvTech family, and, you know, they're high-fiving people, even me and whatnot. And it's just transformation, isn't it?
I've worked at Harrowwood College for 32 years. The last 7 as a job coach, and I have to say that the last 7 years have been the most fulfilling. to see them come in here as a shy, unassuming young person with no employability skills and to walk out of here in some instances with a full-time job, you cannot beat that. Cannot beat that at all.
This commitment comes from the company's roots. The site in Coventry was a Remploy site. Remploy, a scheme that ran out of funding and all but ended in 2022, was set up after the Second World War and was geared towards providing disabled people with jobs. The issue with many of the Remploy sites towards the end was that they weren't profitable. EvTech's site always has been, but they were still pulled down into administration when the scheme went bust. The company has had to rise from the ashes, to modernise, to transform. But during that transformation, the flexibility and commitment to their people hasn't faltered.
I want to transform this business into a modern manufacturing unit. And you can go out there, you can spend thousands on software that's out there in the marketplace for displaying KPIs or looking at OEE or whatever. But we've got a bespoke business, yeah. So yes, we need to do that, but we need to factor in that 40-odd% of our people have some form of learning disability, yeah. So it's not just as easy as taking a bespoke bit of software, chucking out there, and saying use that. You know, I employed a guy. A computer programmer who worked for the NHS, got made redundant by the NHS. He was part of the team that set up the COVID app. Mm-hmm. So he's a database programmer. So we've developed our own software that supports people with the learning difficulties, which we can see.
The overall well-being of the employees and the students at EvTech extends beyond a bespoke factory floor. It also involves something I think most of us can relate to, good food.
Hannah Kitchen, I'm on the catering manager here at EvTech in Coventry.
Fantastic, that's a very apt surname, Hannah Kitchen.
Yes, I married the wrong person, I think, or the right person. We cater for breakfast and lunch here, and I'm in charge of two other ladies here that work with us. We work as a team and hopefully provide a good service for everybody here that works here.
Hannah is a chef, a confidant, a motherly figure, all rolled into one, an absolute essential cog in the EvTech wheel.
If anybody's got any problems, they come to me and advise, and then I'll either go and seek some other advice for them. And they're very friendly towards us, and I think they just love coming up here and having some nice lunch and having a break. Before they obviously go back to work. And I also think it's good for the well-being of everybody.
Particularly with the younger students that come in, have you seen, or speaking to Kathy, have you seen a real kind of growth in them?
Yeah, they're very shy when they first come here. I've got one girl called Kelly that works with us, and she's opened up so much more now. She's asked questions and, she's more interested in how it all works and everything, yeah. And over the period of time, you do notice the difference in them, definitely. Hopefully, at the end of it, they'll all try and get a job as well, which is the main, objective of it all, I think, is for them to be able to get a job at the end of their experience here with us.
The reason that EvTech has continued with this business model is because it works. It's not just to be charitable. Its inclusive ethos isn't just words on a presentation, it gets results. Our perception toward disabilities might make us think that it wouldn't, but it does. Trust in people has made EvTech the highly productive and effective company that it is today. And it was really inspiring, right?
Yeah, I mean, people and skills, we talk about it, the industry talks about it, it's a major issue in the industry. And you hear a lot of noise being made, a lot of companies say the right things. Not saying they're not doing the right things, but this company, EvTech,
it's genuine. Yeah,
they really make it front and centre. I know it absolutely inspired the judges when they were on their site visit there back at the end of last year for the TMMX Awards. You quoted the numbers there, Tom, to achieve those sort of numbers is quite amazing, really. And, Kevin, when we spoke to the MD, you know, he was quite open in saying that, you know, we are a company. We need to turn a profit. We need to, you know, do business and all the rest of it. But they're very, very focused on making diversity and inclusion front and center. You know, it's not just a scheme that they run within the company. It's very much the core ethos of how the company operates and evolves and moves forward. And to the extent which I think was probably alluded to in the interview that we've just run, or in the article itself in the magazine, their sort of tier one automotive suppliers that they're working with, the likes of JLR, are actually looking to them for guidance and help us in terms of how to incorporate diversity and inclusion policies within their own organization. So, you know, if you've got companies like that turning to you for help, you know you must be doing something right.
Hello, listener. Just a quick one. Are you coming to the Smart Manufacturing and Engineering Week in Birmingham this year? Because you should be. Not least because we've got our Manufacturing Digitalisation Summit, which is in its fourth year now. It's running on the 5th and 6th of June, and it will focus on the application of digital technologies that are enhancing the processes, efficiencies and outcomes of the manufacturing industry.
You get quite a broad range of manufacturing sectors, and some are ahead of the curve and some are just starting.
It's just fantastic to see everybody together, really working together and sharing ideas and knowledge, and that's how we're genuinely going to transform the industry.
Across the same 2 days and back for its seventh year, we've got our Industrial Data and AI Summit. This is specifically for analysts, scientists and other data professionals. This summit drills down beyond digital transformation and dashboards to topics of greater intellectual challenge, depth and focus.
Take off the sort of the technical language and all of the legalese that might associate with this and say, how are you dealing with this in your own business?
It's quite nice to know you're not alone, that you're not the only person having that challenge or coming up against that barrier or that obstacle.
Both summits will run in our usual roundtable discussion sessions format, which allows you to share pain points, experiences, and even explore solutions with one another. So get yourself to the NEC in Birmingham on the 5th and 6th of June. Book your place by visiting themanufacturer.com/events. That's themanufacturer.com/events.
And as if there wasn't enough to choose from at this year's Smart Manufacturing and Engineering Week, we've got our Automation and Robotics Accelerator Symposium, taking place on the 6th of June under the same roof at the NEC. This half-day event is for automation-minded manufacturing executives from across the sector to discuss best practices and share knowledge on implementation and optimization of automation and robotics in their businesses. This event will be particularly beneficial to those with uncertainty regarding the automation business case, the financing options, the most appropriate implementation and operating strategies. So why not register for that now? Let's move on to some headlines then. The Royal Aeronautical Society, the RAES, has published a paper on the mental health challenge to civil aviation safety, covering both psychological risk management and mental health. The paper explores the impact that mental health in aviation currently has within civil aviation. The Royal Aeronautical Society's Human Factors Wellbeing Working Group paper highlights key areas of the civil aviation ecosystem that would be positively impacted by a coherent approach to managing and mitigating staff mental health and well-being. This is a good story, so I would recommend you go and check it out. Poor mental health is now an acknowledged safety risk factor in civil aviation. From German Wings in 2015 through to Alaska Airlines in 2023, the issue in the mental well-being of safety-critical staff has become an issue for the industry. One key question relating to this challenge is, to what extent can the risk be monitored and qualified by means of the psychological assessment of safety-critical staff to inform safety management strategies? Elsewhere, Aaron Wilcock, a reliability maintenance engineer apprentice at Amazon, who is part of a Manufacturing Technology Center training apprenticeship program, has been announced as the winner of this year's Ingenuity Skills Awards Trophy Design Competition. His design will now be manufactured by industrial automation specialist Fanuc and presented at the prestigious Ingenuity Skills Award of 2024.
That's the same night as Top 100.
I was going
to
say.
Same night as Top 100, yeah. 2024 marks the 10th anniversary of this event held by engineering and manufacturing skills charity Ingenuity to celebrate the brightest and best in UK engineering and manufacturing talent and the organisation's championing skills development to ensure a bright future for the sector. Elsewhere on the website, we've got calls being made by the SMMT. This is in our sustainability section. The government should reform its dated plug-in truck grant, introduced 8 years ago, to reflect the progress made by the sector in developing new zero-emission truck technology and help cut CO2 by 18.8 million tonnes a year. This is coming from the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders. Mike Hawes, isn't it? He's the man, and yeah, there's a nice picture of a Tava truck as well in that article. Tava, of course, who we visited on a site visit last year. Go check that out. That's a good story, not pertaining to people and skills, but a good story nonetheless. For all of those articles and more, do check out themanufacturer.com. All right, then, folks, we're going to finish this episode off with long-running section now of Made by a Moron. Made by a Moron! I'm going to kick off a segment this week. Trains!
Oh, I say no more, mate.
This has been mentioned before, actually. This was mentioned last year. I'm going to be a bit more specific, though, this time. I'm going to say, look, I don't like to call people out on this podcast, even though we do it all the time, but cross-country trains. What is your game? What on earth are you thinking with your trip? Has anyone got a cross-country train recently? Cross-country is the sort of the red and silver branded.
I was going to say, so what? The cross-country trains is a network operator, is it? Like like Southeastern or Southern?
Yeah, and their trains have just always been like since I can remember, their trains, they take up half of each carriage with either a baggage, you know, rack sort of carriage, which is too big, or a toilet, which is like a UFO. It's like ginormous. And they just leave very little room compared to other trains for seating. So you get on a cross-country train, and it happens every time now. I got on from York to Sheffield to go to the IFM Digital Catapult conference in Sheffield. This will be last week now, won't it? Whenever it was, Tuesday last week. And I like stood from, I mean, luckily I didn't have to go too far. I stood from York to Sheffield and then Sheffield to York, like because there were no seats. And I swear to God, in other countries, if a train, you know, if all the seats are sold on a train, does that train then not register as sold out? Whereas here it's just a free for all. I didn't have a seat number, but it was like, yeah, you can get on that train, that's fine. We'll take your money and you can just stand, you peasant. Whereas, you know what I mean? In other countries, if a train is sold out, you just can't get on it. You can't get on it. That's you. You know, you've got to look for another train. But here they just pile on.
I'm not sure if it's just because I've not been in the UK for a long time, but the last time I was in the UK, I found that trains were abnormally expensive. I mean, they're trying to promote trains as like the best transport choice and sustainable and green and all that sort of stuff. But I think it was like from my mum's house in Gillingham to Wimbledon, which is via Waterloo, I think it is, or somewhere, it was like 90 quid or something.
Well, this will make you laugh, JD. When I visited Spain with Siemens recently, I had to get it was a peak time train, but I had to get a return ticket from home to Gatwick Airport, which if you drove it would probably be less than an hour. and it cost me £117 return from my house to Gatwick. When we were out in Spain with Siemens, we got a train from Madrid to Seville, which is a journey of about 350 kilometres. I looked at my ticket, it was €37. So that gives you a picture, doesn't it?
They laugh at us on the continent. They think, yeah. They're like, how the hell can it be that expensive? It's a joke. That's what it is. It is a joke. And now look, the train itself, you know, Stevenson's rocket, all of that, superb invention. Absolutely wonderful invention. You know, whoever thought, let's build a load of track and let's make a vehicle run along it and it can cover, you know, distance faster than whatever would have been the alternative back then, horse and carriage. Genius, you know, absolute genius. But I tell you what you've done, Britain. You've ruined it for everyone. You've ruined trains. You've taken a good thing and you've shit the bed with it, essentially.
Yeah, it's exactly what they've done.
In Japan, if a train is like late, doesn't it make like national news?
Wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
I think it's something to do with like the amount of people that get on is that if they missed one, it's just like chaos. Like the station is filled. You couldn't get any more. So they have to run like really strict times and that.
What are you saying there about, you know, trains overcrowding, Tom? You know, when I come up to London on the train into St Pancras, I'm lucky enough that I get on early enough because I'm so bloody far away that I actually get a seat. But then there's kind of three stops between me and London, sort of Ashford International, Ebbsfleet and stuff. And then, you know, people are standing and I think, God, how much they're paying for their, they're paying thousands for their season ticket into London to come in on a daily basis to stand up for 40 minutes before to get into London. It's just like, come on, guys.
Sort it out. All right, we're going to finish it there, guys. No people and skills episode next week, but we will be having a SMU-themed leadership episode. So tune in for that one, listener. Until then, take care and goodbye.